D-Maze Finn Gnadonic 102.5 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. So as you all know, the NFL League meetings were earlier this week in Florida. Coaches ate breakfast, allegedly, talked to reporters. Everybody who is anybody was at these meetings. And I was listening to the Scoop City podcast starring Diana Russini and Chase Daniel, former NFL quarterback, on The Athletic. And Diana Russini was emptying her notebook, going through all of the things that she learned while on the ground at these meetings. Here is what Diana Russini had to say about the Titans and the number one pick.
What would it take? What would it take, Diana, for them to move off?
I think it's good business for them to keep this open. I think that's the point.
What would it take for them to move off the pick?
I don't know. They won't answer that. They won't tell you.
It would have to be a ton.
Correct. I mean, this is an organization that is trying to completely revamp and rebuild. They are tearing it down. They did not have a good free agency last year. They don't have a court. They have so many questions that need answers and a lot of positions to fill. So I understand the argument from some in the building that I know would like to trade out because they want to build. But they've lived a quarterback.
No, go ahead.
They've lived in this quarterback situation where they don't have a lot of answers for a while. But I'd put it like this. I'm not sure if there's conviction yet. And that was my sense. I'm not feeling this conviction from Tennessee just yet. It seems, I mean, look, we saw Brian Callahan at the workout and he lights out. Like, he was so happy and loved what he see, but he loved what he saw. I'm just not feeling that yet. It's going to change. I'm just saying for right now.
A couple of things. First, I think it should be mandated that all NFL insiders do their podcasts outside where the birds are chirping. It added a nice little layer to it. It felt I felt peaceful while listening to this.
Tranquil.
Yes, tranquil is a perfect word. It felt tranquil listening to Diana Russini talk about the goings-on inside the Titans organization. Well, chip. I like that. So I want everybody to do that from now on. Number two, she did say the word convicted, which is a banned phrase on this show.
Conviction.
Okay. I thought convicted and conviction. They're related.
Yes.
They are related.
They are related, but she obviously didn't know we were going to play this on the show, so we'll let it go. But we're not allowed to say any of those words. But she was talking about, hey, there are people in the building who would like to trade out. I'm wondering who those people are. And one other thing that she said that wasn't in this clip because I listened to it earlier. She was talking about Mike Borgonzi and how, hey, he's a first-time GM. He wants to make, you know, he wants to make a splash. He wants to make an impression. He has the number one pick. You know, I have to imagine as a first-time GM with that number one overall pick, that is your opportunity to make your mark on an organization. Now, at the same time, as we learned with John Robinson, you can also trade that number one pick and still make your mark on an organization as a first-time GM. So I do wonder which way Mike Borgonzi is leaning.
Yeah, and listen, you can go the John Robinson route, but I think that was a little bit different because they knew they were not taking a quarterback. Marcus was their guy, and then they went out and got Ryan Tannehill, I think the next following year or sometime during that year. But they were not thinking about us drafting, you know, the Titans drafting a quarterback because they assumed that, okay, He's shown the ability to be developed. He had a really good season, I think the year prior, somewhere around there. So in their minds, let's surround him with more talent and let's go that route. But then they, you know, come to find out he wasn't ultimately the guy. So they bring in Ryan Tannehill and it worked out for John Robinson. I think what Borgonzi, from this standpoint, and when Diana Russini says, well, there are some in the building that would draft that would move off that pick or want to move off that pick. Having that pick and wanting to move off that pick and keeping that pick is, I understand what she's saying, but did she ask them, well, if nobody's willing to, you know, give you what you want, are you good with staying with the number one pick? You know, if she would have, you know, gave sort of, you know, an answer to both of those, were there, did that same person say that, hey, if you're not going to get what you want, then are you good with staying with the number one pick and drafting a quarterback? We only know what his answer was based upon her saying, hey, are you really sold on having that pick, or are you willing to move off of it? And they probably say, yeah, I move off this pick, but it has to be the right price. So to me, if you want to believe what Dana Rossini's saying, I mean, go right ahead. I don't think she's completely wrong, because I think in this process, even though they've shown that they like Cam Ward, they still have shown that they are a little bit sort of in the middle with this, that if you offer me enough, I give it up. But if you don't, I don't mind taking the quarterback.
There's a saying that Lou Lamoriello in hockey, Elliot refers to it a lot. When you have time, use the time. Mm-hmm. We're still a ways away from the draft. And God, I wish it was tomorrow, because I am getting so tired.
3 weeks from tomorrow.
Hearing all of this noise.
Buckle up, Willie. It's only going to get louder between now and 3 weeks from tomorrow.
It's the same old. Tomorrow we'll have somebody else saying, hey, I'm not sure what the Titans are going to do. Hey, what do you think of Cam Ward? It's the same stuff, and we got to get through three more weeks. This is where my brain gets fried.
But it's going to ramp up, man. This is what you love, but the back and forth.
But you wait. You wait. You don't have to have the C word. You don't have to have everybody agreeing.
Uh-huh.
You can say whatever you want publicly. You wait and see what's the best offer, what's the best evaluation you can make, and then you make your decision. I would be disappointed if you had a series of reporters coming out and saying, the Titans know exactly what they're going to do with the first pick, and let's just start printing the jerseys. It's going to be X. That's who they're picking. Because that's not utilizing the leverage you have when you have the first pick. I completely agree with the John Robinson. This is where you make your mark. He made a big decision, and it ended up working well for the Titans, and it got them moving in a direction that led to a run of good success.
But
maybe
he
not
made
the
that
level of success, but it was a good move.
He made that decision under totally different circumstances that Borghazi
right.
has to make.
Because he had the quarterback.
Yeah, he had the quarterback, and he had just come off of a playoff. No, they didn't make the playoff that year.
No,
you're right.
They had the first pick.
Yeah, they had the first pick, so they didn't make the playoff. Yeah, but.
But they had the quarterback.
They had the quarterback.
They had the second pick the year before and picked Mariota. And they had LeJuan. They had a couple other pieces at some of the linchpin positions that they weren't looking around for. And I think back then, 10 years ago or so, I think it was a little more in vogue that you jump up and get the first pick and you trade whatever you've got to do. I think teams are starting to be, at least the trend seems to be, you're a little less willing to jump, especially after how badly it looked like the Panthers got burned 2 years ago with trading all of what they traded to get Bryce Young. And you're like, ooh, where are they now? Ah. There's got to be a few other teams that are sitting there going, do we want to do that? Is that worth that? So I don't know if they're getting the calls, but it just takes the one. So if you have time, use it. Until then, we've got to hear all the noise and this and that and Diana Rossini and Adam Schefter and all that. We're just getting started, like you said, and we've already beaten it to death on the air.
By the way, at least Diana Rossini had birds, right? Adam Schefter.
Well, that
hasn't
that
had
did
birds.
Make it more
comforting.
Right?
Didn't you feel more comforted?
Yes, that helped me get through it. That helped me get through it. But I still wish the draft were tomorrow.
Well, let me ask you.
Let
me ask you about this, Willie. I brought this up yesterday on the show. I saw this tweet from Adam Schefter. Speaking of Adam Schefter, I saw this tweet a couple of weeks ago, and it still holds true. He wrote about 2-3 weeks ago, there have been no trades involving first round picks in the 2025 NFL draft. This is the closest to the start of the NFL draft in which there have been no trades for first round picks since 1993, when 5 days before that year's draft, the Chiefs traded a first round pick to the 49ers for Joe Montana. So you touched on it a little bit there. But what do you make of the fact that this is the latest we've come, the closest we've come to the NFL draft, and we've yet to see a first round pick?
Well, I've referred that article, and we've discussed it a lot about The Athletic, the study of the percentage chance that you succeed when you trade up. Your percentages of success are better over a long period of time by trading down and getting more picks. Maybe some people have gotten smart. It goes back to, are you willing to shut down the guy in the room saying, we got to have this guy. Let's trade. We got to get this guy, so we got to trade up. Because the psychology is a part of it. And you have to have some willpower to maybe let your emotions go to the side and look at what history has shown. So maybe that's the trend. But you have time. It just takes one bite, right? It's like that fisherman that keeps that rod out, and I am the worst fisherman ever, by the way. You don't want me trying to catch a fish for you. If dinner is depending on me catching a fish, you're screwed. You're going to be eating grass or whatever else that you can find. But I know my uncle's a great fisherman, but he's willing to sit out there, right, be patient. He's got the skill. It just takes the one bite. And so I think that's what you have to do. You have to exhaust and wait and wait. Continued, the evaluation is coming into picture. You keep doing that until the final minute. Use the time that you have. That stinks for me because I wish the draft was tomorrow because my brain is fried.
We will be there soon enough. But speaking of what the cost of the number one overall pick could be, Charles Robinson was on Robbie and Rex Road last week, and Robbie and Joe asked Charles about the Giants specifically and what it would take for the Titans to give up the number one overall pick to the Giants, who are at number three. This is what Charles Robinson had to say.
What I think is really interesting is when you went back, and I addressed this when I wrote about Cam Ward's pro day a few weeks ago, if you talk to people in Cam Ward's circle, they felt pretty convinced that the Giants were going to make a run at the number one pick in the draft, that there was going to be, if not a trade that happened where the Giants moved up to one, there was going to be a pretty significant effort that took place. And the feel I got was, you know, pay attention to the NFL owners meetings, which obviously is coming up in the next week. That's where if there's traction on a trade, it's really going to hit the ground in the next week or so. So I didn't get the sense at all in any way, shape or form that the Giants are out of potentially trading up, which would be, I don't see the Giants moving from 3-1 for anything less than 3 first round picks or something of that nature, something of that value when you add up all the assets. And I don't see, you know, if they stay put, I don't see them being out of the market for a quarterback.
That was Charles Robinson last week. So that was before the NFL meetings, which were earlier this week. But we talked about the Godfather offer you can't refuse type trade. 3 first round picks or something of that value, Derek, would certainly qualify.
Yeah, I think, but when you say, that out loud to a team, if they're calling you, I think that team is going to hang up on you in a nice way. But I think that team is going to hang up on
you. How do you hang up on somebody in a nice way?
I don't know. Hey, listen, I got another call on the line.
I'm going to be hanging up now. Exactly. Don't be alarmed.
I think it's somebody that want to make a deal. I will talk to you maybe later. Bye. That's how you do it nicely. But they listen, they know no one is going to give up 3 first-round picks. And if you do, then more power to you. But I don't think you – I don't think that's a smart move for an organization to do. You know, you would have, that's almost like a surefire thing. When you give up 3 first rounder, that's saying that guy that you're taking at the number one pick is going to change your franchise from the day he steps on the field for the next 10, 15 years. That's what giving up 3 first round picks to me says. And is anybody in this year's draft worth that? I'm not sure there is. Whether it be Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, me giving up 3 first-round picks to get that, no, you're not worth it, especially outside of the quarterback position. So, listen, whatever the Titans choose to do, I think they believe in their minds it's going to be the right thing for the organization.
615-737-1025. Speaking of the New York Giants, Mike Borgonzi had coffee with who? We'll discuss that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063 The Game. DVD is proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. So, with all of the power players in the NFL in one hotel earlier this week, I came across this tweet from Pat Leonard, an old friend of mine, Pat Leonard, from the New York Daily News. He used to cover Rangers-Capitals playoff series with Pat Leonard back in the day. He now covers the New York Giants for the Daily News up in New York. He tweeted this: Giants GM Joe Shane and Titans GM Mike Borgonzi were just out in the open here at the Breakers Hotel alone, having coffee and chatting for a bit. Titans are picking number one in the NFL draft. Giants are picking number three. When I first saw this tweet, are either of you familiar with the show Gossip Girl?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it, yes.
I know of it.
Did your daughter watch it, perhaps? I think she was in the age range of when Gossip Girl would have been very popular.
I do not know that to be the case one way or the other.
Either way.
She's never mentioned it to me.
Either way, I was just thinking, spotted Joe S. and Mike B. having coffee at the Breakers Hotel, XOXO, Gossip Girl. But I always find these interactions.
I was really into Gossip Girl still.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Well, that's okay.
I threw them off. But it took me years to sort of. I was watching reruns, basically, before I got ill. That's when I got into it.
You know who I think is totally into Gossip Girl? Chris Sanders. Chris Sanders screams Gossip Girl.
Definitely.
When he's not watching The Golden Bachelorette.
For sure. That's his top show.
He is watching Gossip Girl.
Yes.
But I always find these interactions fascinating.
Actually, his top show is Judge Judy. So.
Okay.
We'll give him that one.
He thinks she's hot.
What? Is that
yes.
true?
Hey,
Chris, go for it, man.
Judge Judy, man. Hey.
Her show used to be called Hot Bench, so I mean.
I think Caroline Fenton used to say something on this program that I actually didn't like. Not that I didn't. I thought the saying always kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. Don't yuck somebody else's yum. She used to say that all the time.
Hey, it's true.
And I'm just like, can we think of another way to say that? I don't care for that. Either way. It's always interesting when you have these spotted Mike Borgonzi and Joe Shane talking and having coffee at the hotel that they're both staying at. The NHL, as Willie knows, although it's not going to happen this year because the NHL draft is being decentralized, it's going to be more like the NFL draft where all the GMs and scouts stay back at their team headquarters. And unlike usual NHL drafts where all of the teams would be on the draft floor and they would have tables next to each other. And you would be like, is Barry Trotz talking to Lou Lamoriello? Are the Predators and Islanders about to make a trade? But it's just like them catching up, right? Yeah. But you see that. So, but the Giants and the Titans, there have been plenty of rumor and innuendo about what the Giants it could do. I heard Dan Graziano on ESPN say the other day that the signings of Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson won't prevent the Giants from taking a quarterback. Now, that quarterback could end up being Shedeur Sanders, who could be there at number three. But, Willie, the Giants are a fascinating team to me because they signed those two veteran players. They signed Jameis Winston, I believe, to a two-year deal, clearly backup money for Jameis Winston. They signed Russell Wilson, I think, to a one-year deal, if I'm not mistaken. So you would assume that they don't need a quarterback. But I wouldn't completely rule them out of drafting a quarterback.
No, that's the game. That's the game we're playing. As far as the Gossip Girl, they were spotted. That's what should happen, whether it's together in live or back channels texting. Or phone conversations. whether cordless or not, with the old school, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to have a lot of conversations. So it's another non-story. Because you see people talking doesn't mean they're going to make a deal. But it's inevitable that they're going to feel each other out for what's going on. And I think the Titans should have that same type of conversation multiple times with all the teams and gauge what's the best use of that first pick. That's what it comes down to. It's boring for me to say it. It's much more fun for the Gossip Girl trying to read into it. My favorite story that you talked about, I've said it many times, but as far as the NHL on the draft, right, when the TV coverage is on and they're somebody's on the clock and nobody can think of anything to say and they see a GM on the phone. There was one time that David Poyle was on the phone and they were saying he could be moving the pick. He could be. And he was actually on our radio show for our draft coverage. He was talking to us on the radio. So on the TV, it's blaring out, David Poyle's on the phone. And on the air, we were listening to David Poyle because he was talking to us. We were asking him questions about the draft. So it was it's all fun and games. It's all showmanship.
I mean, you can go one way or the other. It just all depends on how you want to cover, you know, the topic at that particular time. You can look at it as, oh my, Borgonzi was sitting at the table with the GM from the Giants. Oh, they could be striking up a deal. Oh my goodness, what is going on? The Giants are looking to move up for to get that number one pick from the Titans. Will somebody else come to the table? Or you can look at it as, oh, okay, he saw him and he said, hey, is somebody sitting here? He didn't want to go to the other tables. It was closest to where he was getting his food and just sat down. And they know each other and they sparked up a conversation about something outside of the draft, maybe about, you know, one of the rule changes or potential rule changes or the tush push. Or, hey, man, hey, I saw that, you know, your daughter had a birthday, you know, stuff like that. It can be just that, but as we know, listen, you're not looking for that angle, especially this time of year. That's not the angle you're looking for. You know, Borgonzi asking about his daughter's recital. No, that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for the other angle.
Oh, we want the drama.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. They're making a deal. The Giants really do want to move up. Okay. Maybe. If that's the narrative you want to go with, I get it.
I mean, maybe, right? We don't know. It's
exactly.
This is the game.
Then they end up making a deal with the San Francisco 49ers. And they never did sit at the table with the 49ers to eat breakfast or lack thereof breakfast because Adam don't think they eat breakfast.
Well, it's called an AFC coach's breakfast, and I never saw them eating breakfast. Now, Teron Davenport alleges that they eat breakfast beforehand. But I would like to see them at a table breaking bread together.
Actually eating and talking.
Right. Brian Callahan cutting into his French toast, pouring the maple syrup over it while Paul Kaharsky spits eggs at him while he's asking his probing questions.
That's not a good sight. That's not a good – but, I mean, listen, this is the time of year. Listen, everything will be turned up an extra notch as we continue to go along the process. So, you know, it's – sort of ironic this year, which it is every year, that the coaches meeting sort of happens. Owners meeting happens now. It happens every year right around this time. But, you know, each time this moment comes up and there is still, you know, that sort of, you know, I don't know who I'm going to take at number one or number two, and there's still this back and forth. When you have owners meetings like this, stuff like this comes up. Well, I saw the Giants in the elevator with the San Francisco 49ers. Are they making a deal? I saw the Titans sitting with, you know, the GM from the Cleveland Browns. Or I saw the Cleveland Browns sitting with the GM from the New Orleans Saints. Are the New Orleans Saints looking to move up to try to get Shedeur Sanders? I mean, those stories are going to happen. And I think they know it. I mean, those coaches know it. They know when they sit next to certain people and there are cameras there what may come up out of that, especially if they're sitting there and they're talking for a while. And again, they could be talking about nothing related to football. But if I see that, then all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, they could be talking about making a deal. And as we get closer to the draft, stuff like that will continue to be turned up.
If I recall correctly,
I think it's probably not their first conversation, right? No. I think it's safe to say that there's probably been a series of conversations before they ever sat down for coffee.
Yeah.
Which makes it possible that what you're saying either way is plausible, that
That's
they've
the
already
word.
Discussed
plausible.
It, and they may not even need to talk about it. They already know where they stand on the situation with the first pick as of today. And so, hey, who's your favorite baseball team? You know, what's your favorite movie? Are you watching Gossip Girl? Have you ever watched Gossip Girl? Do you spit eggs when you eat breakfast? You know, things that, you know, are just normal, casual conversation, because they've already done the business, at least to this point. So there's no way of knowing it.
Mike Borgonzi does not strike me as a Gossip Girl fan.
Nah, it's more so of a – he probably was a
– he likes The Shield. Remember the show The Shield on FX? Yeah. He seems like a guy who would like The Shield.
Yeah, Borgonzi's what, 30-something, 40?
I'm not sure how old he is.
Because I pegged him as a Laverne and Shirley type of person, too. But yeah, he may be
he's probably
got to
be a little older than 40 appreciate Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, he may be a little bit too young for that one. So, but hey, listen, this time of year, you know the best part about this time of year?
What's that?
This is the best part. Nobody's right and nobody's wrong.
Yet.
Right.
Yeah,
you can
exactly.
say literally anything you want.
Absolutely. If it's in the ballpark, I may disagree with you, but I'm not going to say you're completely wrong because it's still in the ballpark and it could potentially happen. Why? Because it hadn't happened yet.
And I know that we rely a lot on these insiders for
yes.
our shows. We rely on the reporting of Teron Davenport and Paul Kaharsky and Adam Schefter and Diana Russini and Ian Rappaport, and the list goes on and on. But, you know, an Adam Schefter report is the Titans possibly could think about trading the number one pick. Okay, I've learned a lot by hearing that. They could possibly consider maybe doing something with the number one pick or not. Back to you in the studio. Like, that's just the nature of the game. As Avon Barksdale said on The Wire, another great show.
Let's take that, though. Because last week, right, that's a great show, by the way. I am big into The Wire. That
Me
would
too.
Be worth bringing up at coffee. Have you watched The Wire? But we were sitting here, was it a week ago, week ago, 2 weeks ago? All signs point to them picking Cam Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was said, right? It looks like they're going to take Cam Ward. They're trying. I think there is probably a game that you play to make sure that perception doesn't stick there. You want to create mystery, right? So you have to actually do stuff, and you use people like Russini or Schefter to put out reports. Well, they're not sure. They're open to everything. They might even be quoted. We're open to everything, just so it doesn't look like you know exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah, because not too many teams are going to, unless it's just a draft where you have Trevor Lawrence or, Caleb Williams, possibly even Joe Burrow, because even, you know, you go back to further drafts, it's like there was always that second person. So unless you have like I'm drafting this guy no matter what y'all say. This is my guy. Don't even call me because I'm drafting that guy. And we've seen that a handful of times with the quarterback position. But outside of that, don't you want to – you want to keep it sort of, you know, in that sort of realm of ambiguity where it's like you don't know quite what I'm doing? Isn't that what you want? Because you've talked about that a lot, Willie. It's like with the number one pick, if you know for sure that this is not a situation where it's a Trevor Lawrence or one of those guys that they knew he was going to – everybody knew he was going to be the first pick. So don't even call me. Don't you want to leave that sort of, yeah, I can take him. Yeah, I can trade out of it, whichever one, you know, because I think both ways – I'm gonna end up where I want to be anyway.
Totally, and the problem is that Ward is too much of a mixed bag, and the other guys even, who are reportedly at the top of most of the mock drafts. I don't think so many teams are desperate to get that first pick and will give you anything to do it. That's the and the Titans may not be sold that any of those guys are truly worthy of the culture-changing, culture-driving type of player that you hope is there for the first pick. That's what makes this tricky.
615-737-1025 will take your thoughts on Mike Borgonzi and Joe Shane's coffee date at the Breakers Hotel in Florida. I wonder what kind of coffee they had. Mike Borgonzi does seem like a straight black coffee kind of guy. I don't see Mike Borgonzi drinking one of those fancy drinks with the whipped cream and the sprinkles and the chocolate sauce. That doesn't seem like his type of beverage. 615-737-1025. Before, you know, we'll be back. But before we go, I do want to give a shout out to another radio program. Yesterday we were talking about April Fool's Day. I have to give some flowers to another radio program for what they did on April Fool's Day. We'll discuss that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063, the game. Stillman and Company coming up next, of course. Jared is also in the building. It's picture day around here. We all have to get some new glamour photos. Willie Donick will have to do it once he returns from the road. Derek and I stepped out earlier to get our photos done. Who knows how good they are? We'll see. I've never been described as photogenic.
Oh, mine's great. I know that.
Well,
already.
Yeah, but
I didn't break the camera, so that's all I'm glad about.
That's good. That's good.
Can you really break the camera?
No, the camera. It's just a joke because you know if someone's ugly, they break the camera. No.
I wouldn't tell you. I mean, man, you're
nice. No. I'm
just,
man.
Don't sell yourself. Show yourself.
It's a joke.
Don't sell yourself short.
It is funny how that saying, that's one of those sayings where you wonder, who invented that? Did somebody actually feel like they broke a camera? Like,
have someone ever broken a camera because of the way they look?
So why?
The camera was like, damn!
That was a funny, why did they think that was a funny saying? I don't know. Like, but it stuck. Like, because that's for decades. People say, I might break the camera.
Yeah.
I don't want to break your camera.
There you go.
So yesterday, Willie, we were talking about April Fool's Day because yesterday was indeed April Fool's Day. And we were talking about, like, what's appropriate as an April Fool's joke. And I want to give a shout out. Speaking of Columbus, the Predators were in Columbus yesterday. I want to give a shout out to the Common Man and T-Bone show on Columbus, Ohio's 97.1 The Fan. Talk about a great name for a sports talk radio show. Common Man and T-Bone. But I want to give a shout out to Common Man and T-Bone for their April Fool's joke. This was from Awful Announcing. Regular listeners of Common Man and T-Bone may have noticed some similarities between Monday's show and Tuesday's episode, the latter of which happened to fall on April 1st. In fact, the afternoon drive time show proceeded to address the exact same topics on Tuesday that it already had on Monday, even going so far as to interview The Athletic's Jason Stark in back-to-back days. The show's hosts even happened to be wearing the exact same clothes for Monday's and Tuesday's episodes. The story goes on to say that the YouTube feed, the live YouTube feed of Tuesday's show, filled with listeners wondering whether they had accidentally re-aired Monday's episode.
It's awesome.
So they just redid all of Monday's show on Tuesday. They wore the same clothes. Uh-huh. They talked about the same things in the same order. They interviewed the same guests. That's a commitment to the bit.
Yes.
That I have to give them kudos.
That's
for
a script.
And they got
right
Jason
there.
Stark to do an interview for a second day in a row. That's great.
It sounds like it.
And answer the same questions, I guess.
You know, I got a text message yesterday. Yesterday was the second, right?
Today is the second. Yesterday is the second.
No, I got it today.
Okay.
And it was a text asking if I can do an interview. But I think they got the wrong Derek Mason because they were like, Coach, would love to have you on the show, y'all. I was thinking if this happened yesterday, I would have been like, yeah, I'll do the show, but I need to do it within the next, you know, such and such. And I may have done the show as Coach Derek Mason of MTSU. I was thinking like, man, if that had happened yesterday, I probably would have done the interview as Coach Derek Mason, and then said, right, April Fool's at the end.
Do you remember this? Do you remember
exactly
this story? This
happened to me before. You know that, Willie.
Oh, absolutely. I know it's happened many times.
Yeah.
Speaking of, and this has to do with, this is Tennessee Titans adjacent. This is from A to Z Sports. Headline, June 6, 2024. Reporter thinks she's interviewing Vince Young playing golf in hilariously awkward mistake.
Oh,
do you remember this?
We did talk about this, yes. And the guy was really nice. It was live, right? It was a live interview.
It was live.
And the guy was very nice and was not rude about it and basically explained, yes, I'm not the Vince Young you think that you're talking to right now. That was awkward. Wow.
I don't think the gentleman's name was even Vince Young.
Oh, man, that's even worse.
It was Everett Sands.
Oh, hell. That's so far from Vince Young.
The worst part was he didn't look nothing like Vince Young.
So who told that man that that was Vince Young?
Oh, I don't know.
Whoever was on their ear.
Oh, man.
Willie, you've been in the broadcasting game a long time. Do you have any similarly awkward broadcasting moments like that?
Oh, yeah. maybe not that extent, but I did. One of my biggest gaffes of all time was we interviewed a great, I wouldn't say legendary, but a great head coach back in the day, Dan Reeves. You remember he coached John Elway's Broncos teams, most famously, right? And then he became the coach of the Falcons and got them to the Super Bowl. And we got him on the show. I used to be the producer back in the day, and I would schedule the guests. And I got Dan Reeves. I got all excited. I told George and Joe Biddle, the late Joe Biddle. I was like, guys, we got Dan Reeves coming on. They're like, oh, all right, good job. Hey, all right. And I got him on, and I asked him about his new quarterback, Elvis Gerback. They didn't sign Elvis Gerback. They signed Chris Chandler. And so the look I got from George and Joe, I will never forget. I was ready to just crawl into a hole because this is live radio.
How did you get out of it?
I didn't. Because Dan Reeves, you know, was a pro, uh-huh. But he was like, well, we don't have Elvis Gerback. The guy you're thinking of is Chris Chandler. And then he just started talking about Chris Chandler. Of course, they got the Super Bowl with Chris Chandler.
Yeah, they did.
But in my mind, I got some wires crossed. But I was so excited to talk to Dan Reeves about his new quarterback. And whoops.
Wrong quarterback. Guy. Absolutely. That happened to me It happened to me here. Willie.
So apparently, Jared just told me that the pick for that Dan Reeves made for Chris Chandler was for you. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
That was the Houston Oilers traded away and they also, got the fourth round pick.
Big Joe texted me. He said that they got Everett Sands the next day after that happened on Chase and Big Joe, and they were just laughing about it the entire time.
So it does happen to just about everybody. I mean, you're in this thing long enough. Because at the SEC Media Day last year, was it 2 years ago, Willie, when they had it here?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. And we had our show down there with Caroline, but it was a station asking for me from another radio station. I think it was from an Alabama radio station or something. And so I went over there, and they started asking me these questions. And I could have went with it, but I chose not to. And I'm like, you have the wrong Derek Mason. I could have went out there and proclaimed that we were going to beat Alabama, we were going to do this, we were going to do that, but I didn't. Dang it, I would have been a great opportunity to do that, too. Gosh.
It's a little different when you are a print reporter, like I've been for most of my career, because if you make those mistakes, nobody ever has to hear or read about it, because you just don't transcribe the interview.
Ryan Rosillo had the wrong Brandon Marshall like a few years ago. He talked about how he was interviewing the wrong Brandon Marshall. On a live podcast. At least it was a podcast, but not like an interview. Well, but so
sometimes you just have to go.
It's not a good feeling.
No, absolutely not.
That wrong question, asking about that wrong player when he no longer is on your roster, or you don't have that is yeah. I think I've done that once. I brought up a guy, and quickly was like, "Oh, he's not on that team." It's like, ah, gosh.
But that'll do it for us today. We hope you all had a wonderful time with us, and you will have a wonderful time with Jared Stillman coming up at 2 o'clock. For Derek Mason and Willie Big D Donick, I'm Adam Pinkin, 102.5, 106.3.
Lock in for Big D tomorrow, guys.
Be love, love on your people and those that are around you. Be safe, be happy, have a blessed and wonderful Wednesday. Peace.